And who is the reason things are worse? Satan. Satan is making his grip even harder on the people of God. And who remembers that verse, that difficult verse that make people ask many questions and wonder? When God says, I will harden the heart of Pharaoh. So the fact that Pharaoh refused to let the people go was the act of God himself. How is that possible? How is that logical? How is that a solution that I would ever choose? If God wants to deliver his people and he's coming to call them out, and Pharaoh is the barrier standing in the way of God's will, why would God allow him to do such a thing? How many times you get asked this question at your school? How many times people who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or reject the word of God and its authority come to you and ask such questions? If God is love, why would he allow sin in this world? If God is love, why would he allow people to go to hell? If God is love, why would he allow Satan to exist? If Satan is the reason people are making sin, why God let him do all this what he's doing? And on and on and on. All these questions that people come to you and try to show you how wise they are, how smart they are, and how justified they are in the rejection to the word of God. Let me take you to the Gospel of John. And once more, we'll see how God works in a way that is very different from ours. Let's keep that background of the story that we are about to enter into and read this verse from the Gospel of John chapter 4. And we can read from verse 22. John 4:22. This is the time when the Lord Jesus walked to meet the Samaritan woman, and this is the discourse that he had with her. And as a part of this discourse, he's answering a question about worship. She asked about worship, should we worship in this mountain in Jerusalem, or Jerusalem? And he answered in verse 22, ye worship, you know not what we worship, what we know. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For also the Father seeks such as his worshipers. God is a spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Amen. In chapter 3, the Lord had a conversation with a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a teacher, was an elder, knew the word of God very well. And the Lord had a discussion with him because he came to the Lord in the middle of the night and he was seeking help from the Lord, actually admiring him, recognizing that he came from God. All the signs of somebody who's on the right track, all the signs of somebody who really got something. He knows the book, he knows the books of the Bible. He teaches them. He recognized the Lord as coming from God. He actually come to seek him himself. And then the Lord Jesus talks to him about being born again. Then the following chapter, we see a Samaritan woman who is living in sin, far as can be from God. She didn't seek the Lord. He actually walked to her. He was the one seeking her. And when she started talking to him, she didn't recognize him. She didn't know who he is. And he led her slowly to understand that he's coming from God. And then he starts to open a subject with her and talk to her about worship. So let me ask you this question. If I am teaching the word of God, And I'm talking to people that I know that they have no idea about the Word of God. And I went and found them somewhere. And I decided to talk to them about the Word of God. Would you start by talking to them about being born again, or you talk to them about worship? What would you do? Tell me. What would you do? Would you think that it's a reasonable thing to do, to talk about worship to people who are like this woman? Who would think this way? Him. That's how he works. Who amongst us today consider himself very close to God, knows the Word of God, loves the Lord? And who amongst us today consider himself so far that I am even, I don't know what I'm doing here. Somebody just dragged me to this place and I'm waiting for this lecture to end, and maybe during time of break I may have a friend to get to know, or somebody to start talking to. I don't know why I'm here. He's talking with a Samaritan woman about worship. He's talking with the Samaritan woman about the highest level of understanding in the relationship with God. He's talking with the Samaritan woman about the knowledge of God himself and how to worship him. He's talking with the Samaritan woman about the only thing that the Father is seeking. How many times you read about the Father seeking anything in the New Testament? How many times? The only time that you read about the Father seeking something was that the Lord Jesus mentioned here. Worshippers, such worshippers. And he's talking about all these very elevated truth to the Samaritan woman. Brothers and sisters, if I know that Jacob followed God with nothing stop him from living the will of God in spite of all his failures, there is hope for me. If I know that the Samaritan woman was the subject of the person that the Lord used the subject of worship to talk to her about, there is hope for me. Why am I saying this? Because there is no excuse for us, brothers and sisters, to live a poor life. There is no excuse for us to live accepting just remnant of the truth. There is no excuse for us to live without knowing all what God's heart intended for us when he called us to know him. He is talking to this Samaritan woman about everything that God wants for her. He loves her. He knows that she doesn't belong to Satan or sin on this world. She belongs to him, and we belong to him. We don't belong to any poor ideas that we created for ourselves. We don't belong to the lies that the devil is devising for us every day. We don't belong to everything that you keep reading or hearing or trying to make up a life for yourself that make you at least live in peace and be able to survive the struggles that you're going through. No one had struggled worse than this woman, and this woman was really suffering even to get a drink of water on a daily basis. Yet he's talking to her about worship. Why are we standing far? Why are we not in his bosom, enjoying everything that he wanted for us? Why are we not free? Because we are standing away from what he wanted to reveal to us. And there is an enemy that has a grip on us, and he will never let us go away. My point today is not what the enemy wants and what the enemy does. And many times we spend a lot of time thinking about what the enemy is trying to do in our lives. What's wrong? What should we avoid? And that's a mistake. What happens if a child, a baby, grabs a knife from the kitchen? The mom put a knife on a little table and the baby grabbed that knife. You try to run to the baby to take the knife away from their hand because you're worried they might injure themselves. If you don't have children, you will likely try to grab the knife. If you have children, what are you going to do? If you grab the knife, what this baby will do? They will hold more to it. But what you do is you bring whatever they like. You know something else is more attractive to them. You bring it, you give it to them. What they will do to the knife?
They will drop it. They will not even look at it.